My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
On Real Ghost Stories Online, did a young couple move into a haunted home? If so, how did they survive it?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And absolutely love to hear them. Of course, if you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. EPP is what we call them. You do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony Bruschi and Carol Hughes with you here on the January 7th edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. 2022 is the original broadcast date of this program.
It's 2022?
Well, as we're recording it, it's not.
I know, because we're not
so
there.
Blast to the future.
Like, that seems like... like, it's going to be another lifetime from now.
It's not. It's a month.
I know, but in my life, in my household, trust me.
Oh, gosh. I felt like the end of this year has gone pretty quick. First part of it went ridiculously slow. I don't know. The last couple, like, seems like it was just Halloween, and now we had Thanksgiving, and now we're, we're not quite to Christmas as a recording. But when you're hearing us from the past in our time machine... it's 2022.
That's right. Yeah. Hopefully. This is the first time you and I have talked since Thanksgiving, but no, yes. It's past New Year's.
Yeah. You missed Ryan Seacrest. So
yeah, that's so weird.
And if something happened with Ryan Seacrest that night that I'm unaware of as of this recording, I apologize.
Here's what's weird is like, okay, so. And I do want to say thank you because I had to say goodbye to my very old cat, Bob. Mm-hmm. He was 20 and it was heartbreaking. And that just happened 2 days ago. And a lot of people reached out and stuff. But really, when this airs, that happened like lots of weeks ago.
Would you like me to play I Will Remember You again for Amy Grant?
No, my God. I do not need to cry. Don't play Sarah McLachlan Angel or anything like that because I can't handle it.
I'm kidding.
But you know what I mean? It's like, that's so weird.
Sure.
So I'm telling my very old dog, I'm like, you got to stick around. It's just so weird.
Carol also has a complete doggy life support system in her house. And it's also designed to keep them alive indefinitely. It's going to kind of turn into like a Frankendog situation at some point.
I would do that in a second.
All of a sudden he walks up. Could you make it so he walks on his hind legs with his arms out though, at least? That'd be kind of fun.
I would love that. With him with his old arthritic little body and hips.
He'd be such awesome. A cute dog. He'd be such a cute Frankenstein dog.
Like, look at him.
Yes.
You know, Frankenstein.
He's eating a baby.
Oh, he couldn't have done that until his Frankenstein days. So adorbs.
Everyone's screaming and running. Oh, he's got an ear.
But it's a cute little ear. Isn't it? You know, like, the funny thing is there are people in this listening to this podcast who would be like, I'd listen to it. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We just, in some way...
I want the Frankendog.
Turned your dog, your elderly dog, into a Frankenstein dog that eats babies.
But there's that's the trade-off. It's like, I don't have babies. I have a really old dog. So
like, you'd be okay if he did that. If he could live forever. That's the
I would like my dog to live forever.
Would you just like control it by not taking him outside of the house where he doesn't have access to babies? You know,
in my neighborhood. My neighbors, they're getting ready to be grandparents.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, he's the infinite, you know, zombie dog now, but, you know, he's outside because he still has to go to the bathroom. That part doesn't end. So you have to be really either vigilant on that, or he might eat one of your neighbor's grandkids.
Well, I do have a privacy fence, and it's like, don't let your kids in it. That's what happens. I have a Franken dog.
My dog will eat your children.
I'll just go over there and say, hey, update on my dog. He's going to live forever and he eats babies. But all you have to do is keep babies away and we're good. Because everybody else around here is pretty retired, I think, except for quite a ways up the street.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, and those are toddlers.
What's the cutoff for the dog, though? Is it just babies?
Your hypothetical.
So what is the baby cutoff? Is that like a year? You know, when do we consider toddler?
Once they start walking and toddling.
Okay, so once they're toddling, okay, then the dog can't eat them. But if it's a baby.
Because they can run.
Yes, it's defenseless in a carriage. That's like fucking old country buffet to the dog.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What's so insane is I have the most adorable dog on this planet. And he's like this little old man dog. And so if anybody thinks we're being really crazy, we just are.
It's the absolute absurdity of it that makes it funny.
I can't even get my dog to eat the very expensive treats I buy him.
More or less a baby. So.
I'm the one at the grocery store buying the $12 bags of treats. Just to see if my baby. Oh, you're so bad.
That's also what happens with the zombie dog. It will, whenever it's stalking its prey, this song just suddenly starts playing out of its collar.
Yeah, and then people start screaming and running. Amy Grant! Oh, no, it's that song.
You're just like, you're sitting at the coffee shop enjoying your day. You have your baby next to you, and luckily they're sleeping. And then down the road, you suddenly start hearing.
And there's the baby!
It's Carol's dog! Oh, my God! And people just start running. He's also carrying a boombox over his shoulder.
Just walking.
And he's wearing like big shades.
Jesus.
So there you go.
You are so weird. I'm not this person without you. I'm just telling you, you bring out the zombie dog mom in me.
Well, there you go. That's the horror movie concept that someone should steal and make into a Netflix special.
Because you and I always have good ideas. Gee, there's so many good. The funny thing is, other people are like, that is the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard. But we think it's a great idea.
It's a great idea. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. First letter says, my husband and I purchased our home in Denver, Colorado, 2010. We were so young, 21 and 22. We were really excited about beginning our lives together. The house was perfect for us. We had our 2-year-old dog and cat. The yard was big enough for everyone to play in and have room to run. The house was a 2-bedroom ranch with a basement built in the 1950s. Before us, the house had only one owner. We bought it from a 99-year-old lady who's lived there forever. She and her husband raised their family in that house. Their last name was of Irish descent. Being young, nosy, and a believer in the paranormal, I decided to look up the previous owners and to see if anything came up. Nothing did. So a few years went by, and as with any home, especially a 1950s home that had never been remodeled, it was time to start doing some repairs, making some changes. My husband decided we'd start in the basement. The basement was nobody's favorite place to be. It had a creepy feel to it, the classic someone's watching you feeling, or feeling like you had to run up the stairs on your way up. The dog would scramble so fast up the stairs, he didn't care if he left you on the dust or knocked you down. He wasn't going to be the last one up. It was downright depressing if too much time was spent down there. My husband's first project was to tear down the storage closet, giant shelving under the stairs. Removing this was quite the task. It looked very homemade or just thrown together. But they went from the fountain of the house, or foundation of the house, rather, would be where you would start a ceiling in the basement, all the way to the floor, and in length from the top of the stairs to the end. Right across from those were smaller shelves that had a paneling type of wall that created a storage room. It was dark, had lots of spider webs, and generally creepy. Back to the remodel, we started taking the shelves against the wall, the concrete wall down, and we made a discovery that, in my opinion, changed our lives, and not for the better. Remember back at the beginning where I mentioned that the previous homeowners were of Irish descent? In the lip of the foundation basement wall, tucked as far back as it could be, was a chalet. It was this long, solid wood stick with a notch or bulb at the end. It had green and yellow, almost like graduation tassels attached to it. My husband called me to show it to me and asked what the fuck it was. Out of nowhere, the word chalet popped into my head. As a kid, I watched a lot of St. Patrick's Day movies on TV, and maybe that's how I knew what it was. It was polished in very good condition. As far as what a finished piece of wood looks like, it wasn't worn or brittle. It just looked pretty and shiny. But something felt off. I told my husband to put it back where he found it. But no, he had to show his new treasure to our friends. And of course, being a dude, he was pretending to swing it around like a penis. Boys and their dick jokes. Something told me to warn him, a feeling, I suppose, but that anyway, that thing's creepy. It's going to haunt your ass. Once the fun was over and the stick had been out of sight of mind, things started to happen. First was my husband's attachment to the basement. He never wanted to come upstairs. He sat in the little office on the computer all night. Every night he would fall asleep in the office chair, come up only to go to work and right back down when he got home. And his temperament changed to mean. This went on for months. And again, he had a few drinks and took out the chalet, showing it off, mocking it even. Then the dreams came. On the nights he did sleep upstairs, he'd fall asleep first. Most nights I'd hear him whimper and toss and turn without thinking much of it. I'd just roll over, fall asleep myself. One night his dream got so bad I couldn't stand it. From my perspective, of course, he was doing his whining and whimpering, which was the new norm. But then it turned into crying. And in his sleep he was calling out my name like as if he needed me to help him. But his words would cut off before he could finish pronouncing my name. And in an instant his bare chest and arms went up in goosebumps. I couldn't take it anymore, and I woke him up. I shook him till he woke up and asked him what the hell he was dreaming about. His reply was, "You don't want to know." I forced it out of him because obviously I did want to know. Why the hell was he screaming my name? What scared him so bad? It gave him goosebumps. He told me the devil had a hold on him and wouldn't let him come upstairs. He didn't want to tell me because he knew I used the basement often and didn't want to be afraid to do my laundry down there. After that nightmare, we had a long talk and decided that after playing with or mocking this stick is when weird things happened. Unfortunately, evil got the best of him and he began using drugs. I've heard that encouraging evil, sometimes it begins bad choices of that nature. 2 years or so went by and I had to sell the house. While prepping the house for sale, my realtor gave me a few to-dos for the house. In the basement, of course, he wanted it cleaned out and the ceiling tiles to be removed. He said that in older homes, they could contain asbestos. So I started the process of taking them down. That's when I found another creepy treasure. On the rafters that the ceiling tiles were stapled to, I found a few glass jars that had a few things in them. One of them was a vintage-looking mayonnaise jar, glass, which had another little glass jar inside, which then had a nail, some liquid type stuff that looked dried up in a piece of hair. And there was a small jar that had one dime in it. It gave me the creeps 100%. I Googled jar within a jar and stuff in it or something that came up of that nature, and I came up with witches' jars. That's when I had the true what the fuck moment. The hidden chalet, my husband's dreams, the addiction, temperament, the dog, being afraid of the basement, and now the witch's jars. Then I had to ask myself, was she a good witch or a bad witch? Or was she a witch at all? I believe in paranormal and witchcraft, and I definitely believe the old people know what they are doing. I researched if in Irish culture witchcraft was a thing. If chalets were tied into any witchcraft rituals. I ended up Googling myself into circles. Like anyone else who researches paranormal, there are answers all across the board. So I wondered overall if these items are what really changed our lives, cursed or evil. Is that a reasonable thought? Well, after the sale of the house, in a little bit of time and a lot of prayer, my husband pulled himself out of the addiction. We bought another home and have a fresh start with no creepy vibes, no creepy basement, and no creepy chalet. All in all, life has turned out okay, but boy, it was a terrible ride. My question is, does Irish culture do witchcraft? Can a demonic attachment cause bad choices? And what the hell are witches' jars? That's my story. I know it could all be coincidence as far as life goes, but something didn't feel right the moment we found the chalet. Thanks for your time. Love the podcast. Thoughts on that?
That was a creepy story.
Yes, and I know you're an expert on Irish witchcraft, so let's hear
right,
it.
I am.
Yeah.
You know me.
A resident Irish witchcraft, Carol Hughes.
There's got to be somebody listening, though, who would know.
Yeah.
Something about that sort of thing, because I don't even know what a chalet is. I was thinking when she said chalet, I was like, mountain home. But so I don't even know what that is. But, you know, to me, it's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
And because her husband took such a dark turn.
Yeah.
That is freaky.
Very, very.
And the fact that they stayed together. That's surprising, actually.
Yeah, yeah, that they kind of made it through all that.
A lot of couples wouldn't make it through that.
Yeah. Creepy story. Thank you for that one.
Woo!
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller here. And here. There we go. Real ghost story. Hi.
Hi there. Today is my first listening to your podcast. I really appreciate it. So my story took place back in 2008. We had moved to our house in 2007. We live in far northern California, about a mile from the Pacific Ocean. About 2 blocks west of our home in the neighborhood, it was at the time a condemned house. So, of course, it looked spooky and haunted. It's actually condemned by the county, broken windows, the whole effect. So, when I would daily walk or run by that house, I, of course, told myself, well, of course, you have these feelings about this house because it looks like a haunted house. That doesn't mean it is a haunted house. Convinced myself that it was all the power of my suggestion. At that time, I had my sweet wolf dog, and he was starting to age and slow down. So I had started the habit of, instead of him jogging with me, I would take him on a walk and then go for my run afterwards. It was the summer of 2008 on this particular day. I had taken him on his walk, brought him back home, and then in the afternoon went on my jog by myself. I was usually pretty aware of that house anytime I'd cross it for the reasons I had explained before. But today, not even thought about it until I was actually there in front of the house. And I just felt kind of hairs on the back of my neck sort of feeling about it. And really thought I felt something scratch me. again, just start in with that you're suggesting this to yourself. This did not happen. Move on. Problem is, I couldn't move on. I couldn't shake the feeling as I proceeded on my run. I couldn't shake the feeling of how I felt when I went in front of the house. I felt like something scratched me. I just felt strange. At this point of my regular route, there's this easement that goes out of my neighborhood to the property and the road that runs behind what was the old hospital. And there's all these eucalyptus trees there to the right that had always been a raven's roost. And as soon as I leave the easement and I'm in view of the eucalyptus trees, three or four ravens start flying straight at me. I had never experienced that before. Ravens typically keep to themselves. They are not known for attacking humans unless they feel maybe their roost is threatened. They're coming right at me. I'm just sort of frozen. And all of a sudden, they start dive bombing about 2 feet behind me. They're not attacking me, but they're going at something right behind me. I can feel their wing beats. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So at this point, I get kind of out of that their area, move past the eucalyptus trees up to my a typical point on my route. But I'm so shaken that I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to run. I need to figure out what's going on with these ravens and why they came after me. The whole time thinking it's possible something's following me because I feel like something's following me, but again, since we're conditioned to not think these things are possible, I'm thinking anything but that. So I decide, okay, sure. Maybe it was because I was too close to their trees, their nesting or something, and they just didn't want me there. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to approach from a completely different angle to where I can just see the trees, but I'm still pretty fucked. So I went to the west end of the complex that had held the hospital and start walking on a road that meets up to the other road where the ravens had kind of attacked something behind me. I'm pretty far from these eucalyptus trees. I'd say a good 200 yards. These ravens fly out of those trees and start coming right towards me. And I had never seen the ravens go to that area of the complex. And they start doing the same exact thing to me. 2 feet behind me, dive bombing. And I'm just sort of like, I have no explanation for this. I just decide to walk home. At this point, I still feel like something's following me until about crossing the street onto my block. And all of a sudden, I just felt relieved. Like, yeah, it's gone. Mind you, that block, my block is directly west of the house. Just two blocks away. So I had no explanation for that. A couple months later, hanging out with a friend of mine who she's also sensitive. We're just kind of ha-ha laughing about it. Well, let's go check out the property. Let's just see what's going on. And we get there and neither of us feel anything, actually. Like, we're like, whatever that was, we can't explain it. And then we're like, okay, let's leave. And then all of a sudden, my friend stops dead in her tracks and she says, I've just been touched. So that happened. The house was very interesting to me. Not long after my friend and I went there, somebody bought it, and you could see they were getting ready to refurbish it, which I thought, oh, that might be interesting. And at this point, I became pregnant, and then I have my son, and they're rebuilding the house. And then they're going to do an open house. So whoever did bought this, they flipped it. And I really desperately, I had my son at this point. He was a baby, and I was staying at home with him. And really wanted to go see the open house, but I felt like I can't. There's something about my son and my baby. I just felt like, no, I can't go there. I certainly can't bring him there. I just felt like he was, for some reason, in danger. I couldn't explain it. So one day a man knocked on our door. He's got flyers about the open house, and I started saying to him, yeah, you know, I'm really curious about that house. What's the history behind it? It had at one point been a schoolhouse about 20 miles away to the east, and somebody moved it there. So I don't have any information beyond that, but that was the day the Ravens, pretty sure they saved me from something, or at least were trying to protect themselves for me from something that was following me. And that's my story.
Wow. Thoughts on...
That's some crazy shit.
All of that.
There's a lot.
The Ravens are my personal favorite.
And I haven't really heard a story quite like that.
With the
it was
Ravens.
Kind of right out of the birds.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not tiny little birds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that they're attacking, they're attacking something right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so strange.
Yeah.
But, you know, they would be sensitive to something else.
Yes.
But I think that it's more because she had felt that scratch thing. You know, she picked up something from the house anyway. Mm-hmm. And then for that to happen on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
but that's really a strange thing to have happened right then.
Yes.
And then I also, like, I'm really glad she didn't go to the open house because I'm like, when you get that feeling, you shouldn't do it. It's mm-hmm. not a good idea. You know, and especially if you've picked up on something before, like, well, I also understand the attraction.
Yeah.
Like, I'd kind of like to go in with a bunch of other people at an open house. I get that. But I'm glad she listened to that inner voice because I don't think that had been a good idea for her.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's, you got to go with your gut sometimes. And even if you don't quite know why, or you know, like, well, I'm fine. Yeah. Although if I did that, I don't think I'd ever leave my bedroom. It's like, you're going to go out there today and you're going to have to interact with people. Like, yeah, you're right. I'm just going to hang out. I'm working here. I'm good.
Staying here. Yeah. I'm good.
Yep.
I'm good.
Good.
But I'm that way. Like, there's a house here that I'm oddly attracted to and terrified of at the same time.
Yeah.
And I drive by it frequently and it's huge. And it's painted the entire thing. Like, there's no trim color. The entire thing is painted a really dark gray.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably built, I would say, about 1900.
Yeah.
So it's old. And, excuse me. And all the windows have been boarded up. Then it went for sale. So I'm like, oh my God, I got to find the pictures online. So mm-hmm. I look at the pictures. And, you know, it has some charming features to it, but I'm like, it's just so creepy. And it was, you know, I don't remember how many bedrooms it has, but it's big. Because
mm-hmm.
in Wichita, we have some really big old houses.
Yeah.
And so I think it was for sale for like $160,000, something like that. Mm-hmm. And somebody bought it. And they're fixing it up. And I have that same feeling about it. Like, I drive by it all the time and I'm like, I want to see what it looks like. Like, I want to see what they're doing.
Sure.
Or do I? You know what
you
I mean?
Do.
There's
yeah.
just certain places you're just kind of very curious about, but is it a good idea? And especially in her case, when it went even beyond like that kind of attraction to that house.
Sure.
I don't know how to explain that. I think we all have those houses. It's like,
oh, completely.
I find it terrifying. Yet I can't stay away from it.
Did you see the video I just posted over my trip?
Oh, you posted a great video.
Yeah, that was like my neighborhood haunted house. I mean, that's, you know, what people would say. It's like literally...
And it's super like haunted house looking.
Yeah, it's like half a mile from where I grew up. And we go by it every day. And it's on kind of a weird hill and kind of a strange area to like get right to it. But it's been abandoned since the 1950s. And it's been taken care of, like they mow the lawn. Now, as far as the aesthetics of the inside, it was kept up pretty well, I'd say, until the early 90s. Then things kind of started going downhill. There was a back sunroom or a sun kitchen or whatever you call it. That all collapsed in on itself. Then slowly you know, windows started kind of getting broken, and eventually they boarded the thing up as best they could. But even that gets, you know, seemingly pulled off or something. But the house, it still just sits. It's in this beautiful thing. It's somewhat taking care of the yard, but why? Someone, I mean, would love to restore this thing, but it sits. And it was in one family, I believe several kids are in possession of it now. If I'm correct, I could be wrong. But I don't know. It's an amazing place. I've talked about it on the show before. So we call it the house on K because that's the road that it's on. But I got my drone in there over the weekend because if you walk up to it, there's sensors that alert the police immediately. So you can't really get to it very easily before the police pop in. So I thought, well, I'm going to drone it in. And that is completely legal. So I parked on a road next to the house in another neighborhood, got it up over the trees, tried to find my way down in there, got into this, you know, because it's like this, you know, just complete covered by trees, the whole yard. So you got to be really careful getting the drone in there and then staying below the branches as you try to fly around and get your shots.
Yeah.
And then try and figure out how to get back up, because when you go down, you can see down. But when you go back up, you cannot see up. So I had to kind of mark it like where I went down and then refine that place when I pulled it back up and I got it out of there and I got the back of the house. But it was creepy. I love
It's a really good video.
Yeah.
Actually, the way you shot it, super creepy. And it's interesting to know that you had like kind of, it was hard to shoot because you make it look super easy.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably
a great video.
It's probably like 12 minutes of footage in there, that I have. And the video I think was like 60 seconds or so, but, it was a very hard to get angles and shots because you back up and there's trees. I almost went down with it. I was trying to do there's this great slow shot of the front of the house and all the gables, and you can see into the windows a little bit. And I go up and I'm going up and I'm going up like a perfect shot. I'm going so slow. And all of a sudden I see like leaves being chopped and flying in front of my camera. I'm like, oh, crap. So, and my sensor didn't go off. My sensor normally would let me know if I'm by a object. For some reason, it didn't catch it. And so I pulled it down real quick and it was like kind of swinging. And like, then it regained control. And I was like, thank God. But I was prepared. I knew my path of how to get into that yard if it fell, to go run and get it and get the hell out of there.
It's great. So I think did you put it on the, where did I see it? On the group page?
It's on all of our social media. So okay. With Facebook, Instagram.
Check it out because it's a really cool video.
Yeah. Ghost Podcast on Instagram and Real Ghost Stories Online. Just look up Real Ghost Stories Online. You'll find us wherever. You can see that video. Also got some cool ones of the hometown cemetery, but we can talk about that on the next episode of the program. Because when you go home, you want to go hang out at the cemetery. That's
of course you do.
Kind of what I do. All right, let's wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like us, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.